If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 28. Today we feature Ricardo Ramirez, the homie. What's up, man?
What up, bro?
How you doing?
Great.
Great?
Look at this studio. I wish y'all could see. Zoom out. That's great, bro. I'm proud of you, dog.
Bro, happy birthday.
Thank you.
29? 28.
Bro, don't be putting years on me, dog. What are you talking about?
Dude.
28.
How was it, man?
Birthday?
Yeah.
Great. So my wife threw a party for me. On the weekend, You guys came, small gathering because of COVID. It's just good to hang out with friends, especially In this weird time where we like haven't been able to see each other.
Right.
And then two musicians that we never get like together because we're always busy gigging and stuff. So it was great to see everybody. And then yesterday for my official birthday, we just chilled, got some good food, went to the drive-in, saw Tenet.
It was pretty good. Dude, that's a great movie.
Confusing.
Right.
But
right.
Good.
I still have to search up the synopsis because I didn't understand everything.
I got to watch it again.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I'm like, are they back in time now?
Right.
Like,
what's going on?
It looks really right. Like, the cinematography is great. The directing is great. But if you literally look down at your phone for like 2 seconds,
you're
going to miss something so important. But
the movie was by Christopher Nolan, right?
Yeah.
Man, dude, I love that director. He's amazing. Great.
Like Inception.
What's the other one? Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Great
amazing director, but he always makes these like brain crumbling movies where it's like, what did I just watch?
Right.
Like, I have to go see it again. I've been wanting to watch it for months, but it wasn't out here in the US.
Yeah.
And then all the theaters are closed, obviously. So finally, The Mission Tiki in Pomona was playing.
Oh, that's
it's
sick.
Dope. You guys should go. You should go on a little date.
You know, they were actually going to close that spot
Last
summer. I think it was last summer. They were planning on closing it and they opted not to do it, I guess, because COVID happened.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing, man. And the resurgence came up again for drive-in theaters.
They've been booked. Like, we went on a Friday and it was like packed. The freaking snack line was like all the way to the back. So,
dude.
I'm glad. I love movies, dude.
Yeah,
I love just watching movies. Mine and Desiree's favorite date night is literally on the couch
at
the end of the night. And we'll watch like random Netflix movies.
That's cool, man.
It's the best.
Well, welcome, man.
Thank you,
glad
bro.
To have you here on Sir Kevin Says. A little bit about Richie. He is a musician, entrepreneur, and a filmmaker. As a filmmaker, he has worked with Usher, Travis Barker, Chris Brown, Zoom Audio, not to be confused with Zoom Video Conference, Gary Vee, Mercedes, AMG, J Balvin, Tyga, Lil Wayne, Machine Gun Kelly, and Mono Percussion. He was also part of the house band for America's Got Talent and band director for Shadmir. Bro, you've done a lot of stuff. A lot. We met, I think, what was it? Maybe like 4 years ago at the NAMM show? Or was it before that? Did we meet, bro? I can't remember now.
I don't know. I don't remember how we officially met, but I think it was through Guitar Center, through like the drum offs.
Really?
In Rancho. You know Will, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
Will Dorsey.
Exactly, yeah. So Will would always be like, yo, you got to connect with Kevin. Because I think we would always pop into the Rancho Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And we were both like Latino drummers in the area playing, doing the same thing. And that's kind of how I got wind of you. And I don't remember exactly how we met. I think we finally met at NAMM. And then I believe I approached you because I was interested in the school, CSCM. Mm. And I think that's when I finally reached out to you. And I'm like, yo, like I'm thinking about this thing.
Yeah.
Like, how's your experience?
That's
and
right.
I think that's how it started.
Right, right. And then we connected once again at NAMM.
Right.
Right. And then I think that was the year that I won the GoPro. Were you there?
Yeah.
That's right. The grand prize.
You won the GoPro and you've won like every year since. I'm like, just go with Kevin's group because they always win something at NAMM.
Dude, what's funny is that every year since that NAMM show, someone has won that I know, which is crazy.
It's always your circle.
Yeah, that's
like,
funny,
I need to get in there and get lucky. Like, somebody won in-ears 1 year.
Right? Jesse Gonzalez, 1964.
I was like, bro, what?
He won the grand prize, man.
That was insane. Those like $1,200 in years.
Dude, that's crazy, man. That's funny. Yeah, mm-hmm. Down memory lane, man. No NAMM show next year, but
I know, dude.
You gotta.
They'll probably do like a virtual thing. Didn't like NAB do a virtual one?
Something like that.
There's been a few companies that's done like virtual stuff, but
yeah,
it's not the same.
Right. Yeah.
Even then, NAMM is kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it's been going down. It's more so just connecting with friends mm-hmm. and following up with companies and stuff. But
yeah,
it's still a cool time, but a bummer that they're not having it.
Yeah. Well, during this time, man, what have you been up to? What projects are you working on?
So the beginning of the year, COVID, I got the opportunity to, prior to COVID, I got the opportunity to work with Usher. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the year with filming him for his Grammy performance. He was doing a tribute for Prince at the Grammys. And then I got the call to film the 7 days leading up to the Grammy performance.
Man.
So it was like literally Monday through Sunday. And I was documenting kind of behind the scenes D-Rock, where I was just following him around with the camera for 12 hours a day, every day. That was the opening to the year. We did that end of January. The day of the Grammys, that was the day that Kobe passed away.
Man.
And it was just this crazy feeling inside the arena. There was a ton of sadness, ton of tears that day. Everybody was like, what is happening?
Right.
After that, things really started picking up. I started working a lot with him. I got a call back to do a few other things. We did like an iHeartRadio mm-hmm. show. We did the Late Late Show with James Corden. And then once COVID hit, I had shot so many projects at the first month of COVID. I was still really busy with editing.
Yeah.
And then I had a few projects fall through, but for the most part, like I kept working through the entire quarantine, which I'm super thankful for. And it was all single man shoot. So it was just me by myself operating cameras, lights, audio. Normally I have a crew that helps me with that.
Right.
But people were still trying to figure out how to create content during this lockdown.
Yeah.
And we've sort of figured it out. Enough to keep me working throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I'm super grateful for that. I worked with Usher. I worked with a few other like smaller companies. There's another company called Casa Azul Tequila where I was shooting a lot of their content.
Nice.
I do a lot of behind the scenes for like really big music videos. So I recently just did some stuff with MGK before the lockdown. I directed some of my own videos in the middle of the lockdown. I had 3 really big music videos with the artist named Stephen G. So
nice,
it's always
completely
random.
Yeah. And how do these gigs come about? Like, do people recommend you? Is it all word of mouth? Or
I'd say probably 70 or 80% of my work is word of mouth. And then the other 20 to 30% is just either directors and producers mm-hmm. that I've connected with and I've worked on prior projects. And then they just continue to bring me on to do either behind the scenes or a lot of times they have smaller projects where they don't have massive budgets to do, you know, the 20, 30 people crews.
Right.
So they'll hit me up to do the smaller, you know, 4, 5, 6 people kind of crew.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful because those are still like really cool jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I've shot like some cool corporate stuff with some really big directors that we shot something for like Orange Theory, the workout company.
That's cool, man.
So it's always so random, but attaching myself to these producers and directors that are doing like the biggest of the biggest stuff, I still get to be a part of all that.
Yeah.
That's how I got the MGK gig. My buddy was the producer producing the entire project. And he's like, hey, do you want to do BTS? I'm like, cool. So it's a direct call. It's not like,
you go through somebody.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we heard of you or you were recommended. It's like, no, my buddy gives me a direct line.
That's cool.
And it's something I'm super grateful for. And at the same time, like I feel like I worked really hard to develop that relationship. A lot of free work at the beginning to just be like, hey, let me just get my foot in the door. I want to show you what I'm about. I want to show you what kind of work I can produce. I gain that trust. And then a year down the road, these are the opportunities that I'm getting.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is word of mouth. And then other times just through social media. Just like, hey, I seen you work with this person. Would love for you to shoot my music video, corporate video, stuff like that.
And how long have you been doing filmmaking for?
Professionally, I'd say the last 3 years.
Okay.
And professionally just means getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I started making videos when I was probably like 12 or 13, skateboarding. I bought like a cheap $200 camera and I started filming my friends. I started editing on Windows Movie Maker at like 13, you know?
Yeah, Windows XP.
Yeah, dude. Windows Movie Maker. And in high school, I took a video production class, and that's where I learned for the first time how to edit on Final Cut 7. And I learned how to like convert DV tape to like digital and run it in. And it was a cool class, probably like the only good class I had in high school.
Yeah.
And then that's where I wouldn't say I fell in love with filmmaking, but I'm like, hey, like I really enjoy this. Like, this is cool. And then when I started drumming and taking drumming seriously and wanted to make a career out of it, I realized that social media and content goes along with your brand as a musician.
Exactly.
And that's when I really started like digging deep into learning about lighting, learning about cameras, how to get better quality for my own drum videos. Yeah. So I was trying to promote myself as a drummer at the time. So I just started honing all these skills. Every time I would go on tour, every time I'd play a gig, there'd be a GoPro there. Or eventually there'd be like a hand camera.
That's dope.
A point and shoot.
Yep.
And then 3 years ago when I kind of started transitioning into video, I got a call from Zoom, which is one of my biggest clients now. And it was to do a video for Carlitos del Puerto, bass player.
Yeah.
Plays with Chicoria, Barbra Streisand, all kinds of people. Carlitos del Puerto on Instagram, I believe.
Yeah.
Check him out. Big old fro.
Cuban.
Cubano. Love that guy. So he hit me up to do this this shoot for Zoom. He was doing a little product video for them. I did it all for free. I sent in the video. And this is still when I was as a drummer. I wouldn't call myself a filmmaker yet.
Wow.
I was using a camera to network with musicians to hopefully get gigs as a drummer.
That's funny, man.
And then I send in the videos to the company. They love them. And the president of the company calls me. And they're like, hey, we want you to continue shooting our videos. I'm like, just so you know, I'm a drummer. This is a hobby of mine.
Can I get the H6, please?
Yeah, exactly. And then my dumb self they started asking me for like prices. And I'm like, oh, it's like $300, $400. And they're like, all right, great. Yeah, I'll shoot it. So they started sending me on gigs. And I'm like, okay, if a corporate company trusts me enough to make video content for them and pay me, it must mean that I'm pretty good at this, you know? And that's when I really went down the rabbit hole of learning cinematography, lighting, cameras, investing in cameras, gear. And the last three, almost 4 years now has just been insane.
Yeah.
Like, the growth has been unreal.
Right.
The opportunities that I've had still seems like, is this like, what is happening right now?
And what's cool, man, I've noticed that you've been able to employ some of your closest friends on some of these shoots. On Zoom, you've had Eodo. Mauricio was on there, a bunch of friends, man, myself included, which we did the H8 promo, which was a lot of fun, man. So thank you for having me on there, man. I'm not using the product here, but it was a lot of fun, man.
Good.
Having all that you've accomplished in the last couple of years, where do you draw inspiration from?
Where do I get my inspo? Definitely watching films, watching amazing directors. We're just talking about Christopher Nolan. Like when I see films like that and I see beautiful framing, beautiful cinematography, beautiful lighting, one take shots that are just like a minute long with no cuts. Have you seen the movie 1917?
I have not, no.
So that it's an incredible film where they shot the entire movie has zero edits. There's a total of 17 cuts in the entire movie, but it's all done in a one take. Literally where they hit record on the camera, they follow the actor through like this 7 minute scenes and there's zero cuts. So like stuff like that inspires the heck out of me to be like, what if I did that with a drum video? Or what if I did that with a corporate video?
Yeah.
Or stuff like that. You know, I just love learning and progressing. Like when I'm not filming or I'm not working, I'm researching online, I'm buying courses, I'm learning about color grading, and I just want to be better each day.
Mm.
And I think that's where I draw a lot of my inspiration from. And then two, I think the medium of filmmaking allows you to be a storyteller. That's the biggest thing about filmmaking,
right,
is what's the story that you're telling.
Yeah.
And I love being able to tell stories that are in my head through filmmaking.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, it could be any project, but I can tell a story of myself, of my childhood, of how I'm feeling,
right,
of what I believe in, the things I support, and I can tell it in this cool medium.
Yeah.
And it's just like drumming. Like you can be great, but there's always something new that you can learn.
Right.
Whether it's like a different style of music,
right,
or it's It's jazz. It's theme by. It's Latin. There's like, you don't know it all. It's the same with filmmaking. Like, yeah. You can always be a better cinematographer. You can always learn different lighting techniques. You can always learn what this lens does versus that lens. Mm. And you can always learn about color grading. So there's so much that I have yet to learn. And that excites me and that kind of inspires me.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. You have been married now for how many years?
3 years.
How's that going?
Good, man. It's, yeah. Marriage is tough. But
tell us about that journey, man.
But it's good. So I think you know our story, but for the people that don't know our story, I want to give you guys a trigger warning because there is a sexual assault aspect to it. Mm. So this is the trigger warning for anybody that's listening. If you want to turn it off now before we get real. I had to learn that through my wife.
Yeah.
So we've been together for almost a total of 9 years now. Mm. We got married 3 years ago and everything was great. We were living our lives in LA. My wife had the dream job. Mm. I was working as a musician at the height of my career,
yeah.
Going to school, getting all my networking in LA, living in Glendale. I had just got the gig for America's Got Talent, which for me was one of the biggest gigs I've ever had. And then I get a call one night that my wife was sexually assaulted. And it was two or three days before the new year. And that like completely changed our life.
Yeah.
360. And we never expected something like that to happen. She was one of three women that were assaulted by a man that was just off his rockers. Happened in Riverside, California. Oh, unfortunately, man. Somewhere near to us, nearby to us. And, we went through the emotions at first and we're like, you know, a month will pass and we'll probably be able to get back to normal. But it was like a cancer that just kept spreading and we didn't know what was to expect, you know. And even three, almost 4 years later from that event, we're still dealing with like some of the repercussions mm-hmm. that happen from sexual assault. You know, there's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of suicidal ideations. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that people don't see. And then there's a lot of things that completely change forever. You know, when you see a car parked on or a car on the side of the freeway, most people are like, oh, they probably have a flat. They probably, you know, making a call or something. For us, it's a different story. We see a car on the side of the freeway and we make sure no one's getting attacked.
Yeah.
You know, or we get in the car, we check our back seat to make sure no one's there.
Man.
We go to a restaurant, we have to be seated so we can see the doors and we can see who's coming in, who's coming out, so we see all their fate. Like, it's,
wow.
Your life is completely different.
Your perspective, total 100%. Paradigm shift.
100%. Yeah. So our lives completely changed and that's actually one of the reasons why I really went all in with filmmaking. One, music, I think we all know, can be like, financially, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to make a full-time living
right.
and a good living financially off music. So one, I saw that filmmaking would give me better financial stability at the mm-hmm. time. And then two, it allowed me to be home with my wife while she was going through all these emotions.
Yeah.
So I can go shoot a video one day and then be home editing for the next 7 days. But
nice.
At the same time, I can be there to like nurture her.
Exactly.
To go through it.
Yeah.
So I think... they always say like your first year in marriage is the hardest. And I think for us, we had this extra layer of stuff on top of our marriage that made it even that much harder.
Yeah.
And we've been, you know, we've been pushing through it. We've tried multiple things. We've tried, thankfully my wife got into counseling pretty quick, therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been extremely game changing.
That's awesome. That
helped her so much.
Yeah.
And recently we started going to marriage therapy together because
nice.
there was some things that would cross over into our marriage and where it's like, I know it's not us fighting.
Right.
It's
right.
all these circumstances
exactly.
around us that are
right.
making it difficult.
Yeah.
So, I think marriage is a beautiful thing when you find it with that right person.
Mm-hmm.
Where me and Dez are complete opposites, but it's what makes us work, you know? And what's crazy is I think me and you are extremely ambitious. Being a musician and
right.
trying to make it as a musician is a really ambitious thing.
Exactly.
And to find a woman who's willing to be there.
And support.
And support you mm-hmm. with that. Like, if you want to go on tour, you're gone for a month. Like, not many women want to stay by you and be faithful and be loyal and just be ready to take that on. It's hard.
Right.
You know, and I found a woman that is, she was like, yeah, like whatever. Like day one, yeah. I told her, I'm like, hey, I want to be a musician. We were 18 or 19 when we met. And I'm like, I want to be a musician. I want to tour the world. Are you cool with that? She's like, yeah, I'm down. I'm like, all right, cool. Sweet. Like we got that out of the way. And literally that's how it was. Like I quit my job at 19 or 20. I went on tour for a month and a half.
Man.
I think a month after, 2 months after, I went on a 3 month tour. And she's like, cool, yeah, I'm chilling. I'll see you when you get home.
That's crazy. So that's awesome, man.
You know, things like that make me grateful that we're together.
Yeah.
And we've just shared a ton of awesome memories. That's so cool. It's great. It's hard. But I think if you stick it out, if you really feel like it's the right person, it's great.
Yeah.
Like the positive things always outweigh all the negative.
Right.
100%.
I'm assuming the toughest part of everything that you've gone through is mental will. Right, to overcome these challenges that you might face. What are some things that you try to do to help alleviate maybe some mental struggles? Because, you know, I know in the last, I'd say 5 to 10 years, maybe a little bit more than that, there's been this huge increase in mental health awareness, you know, where people have suicidal thoughts, depression, stuff that you were mentioning. So what are some things you do to kind of alleviate those moments? Or do you read any books? Do you call out to any friends, anything like that?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little different when it comes to that. Like, I believe I have a really high EQ, mm-hmm. like emotional stability.
Yeah.
And not a lot of things get to me. I haven't experienced a lot of adversity in my life. I haven't had a lot of people in my life pass away. And I think like the closest family to me passed away when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I haven't had to experience many funerals and things like that. So that's probably why I haven't got to that level. My wife, on the other hand, has been to too many funerals and has gone through a ton of trauma. And we've have a lot of, you know, completely different lives. And I've learned a lot through her, how to cope with mental health, how to be vulnerable when you're feeling a certain way, to like address those feelings on the spot and talk to them. I also learned through church how to be more vulnerable, more open, and talk to people, let people into my life. I used to be very reserved, and my family is actually the same way, where it's like, whatever your struggles are, like, just you deal with them on your own, you know? And that's how I grew up. My wife grew up completely different. She's like, why don't you ever talk about your problems or this or that? I'm like, I'm fine. Yeah. Like, I deal with them how I deal with them, you know?
Yeah.
And to answer the question, one was my wife. She's extremely vulnerable, extremely open. So seeing how she is and how she dealt with her mental health helped me be like, okay, when I'm dealing with something, like, how do I want to actually dig in and process it?
Right, right.
So for me, I don't really read books or anything. I just, I process in my head.
Yeah.
And then I can get past it for the most part.
Yeah. That's good.
My wife's different. It's therapy. It's grounding. It's spiritual work. It could be yoga, or it could just be crying it out for a week. Mm. You know, it's completely different. But one thing that I have learned through her is therapy. I think there's a big taboo with therapy, but it's been a game changer for her and for myself.
Yeah.
So I recommend anybody who's going through something, therapy. Two, like, it's okay to not be okay. Like, if you have stuff, trauma that has happened in your life that's causing you to be depressed, it's completely okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
And figure out a way that you can deal with those parts of your life, whether that's with therapy, talking to a friend, reaching out to somebody, finding a community that's gone through the same thing as you. Like, it was also life-changing for my wife when she started being around other survivors and they started sharing how they felt being a survivor. And she's like, dude, I feel the exact same way. Or like finally somebody understands how I feel.
Yeah.
Because I've never been able to express this feeling and somebody feels the exact same way.
Yeah. Are there any other passions you might have that we don't know about besides filmmaking, music?
Coffee. I love coffee. I drink 2 cups a day, every day. I wake up, the first thing I do is go to my Chemex, grind some coffee, boil some water, 208 degrees, put it there for 4 minutes, watch it bubble. It's literally a ritual.
Yeah.
So I love coffee. I love movies and I love learning. I like I said earlier, like I'm always buying courses or on YouTube, just learning about different things. I kind of want to start learning about stocks. So that might be like the next thing I get into.
There you go, Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, all them guys. Yeah. And I love entrepreneurship. I think that's one thing that I'll always be doing. I'll always be starting a new business. Yeah. I had my music school that was like my first real business back in, I think it was like 2014 when we were in the school.
Yeah.
We built Unique Education, Marius and I, to an amazing place, had over like 30, 40 students at one time. We had two programs inside elementary schools in Glendale. And it was my first real business venture where I learned about just handling money, handling employees, getting an LLC, like doing taxes, 1099s, like all that stuff. And I love building businesses. It's been in me since I was a kid. I just never knew what it was called, you know? So, coffee and entrepreneurship.
There you go, man.
Yeah.
So how do you make sure that you don't burn yourself out?
I don't know the answer. I literally just took a vacation because I was burnt out. It's a tough thing to do. I think for myself, because I don't like to say no to anything. I see everything as like an opportunity of like, it'll get me closer to my goal, or it'll give me a better relationship with this person. So what I've been working on is balance, really. I'm the type of person that I'm a workaholic. I'll work from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. And me and my wife had to start putting like restrictions on my work. Basically saying like, hey, like you're burning out, you're working too much. Like, let's just say now, from now on at 7 o'clock, computers off, phones off, like let's spend time together.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's really helped. There's this quote that I got from my buddy, Ben Haggerty and Andrew Sandler, where they say yes until you can say no. So when I first started filmmaking, I said yes to every single job just because I wanted to build my network, wanted to build my income. And I'm at the point now where I have a good amount of income where I can start saying no to certain jobs.
Right.
You know, I don't have to say yes to everything just to live. And it was the same thing when I was drumming. I would say yes to gigs just because I needed the money, but I wasn't super happy to do that gig.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful that now I'm in a spot where I can say no to certain jobs and I can just kind of pick and choose and take on certain things. So I think that also helps me not burn out, because I'm not saying yes to every little thing.
Exactly.
I mean, there'd be days where I did 2 shoots in one day. I remember doing a 12-hour shoot, and then Usher's management called me last minute to do an overnight shoot. So I was up from 8 a.m. to 5, and then I went to go do the video shoot from 8 p.m. till like 6 or 7 in the morning. So I stood up for 24 hours and I did 2 gigs back to back. And that's the kind of stuff that burns you out. So now, luckily, it's like, you know, I can say no, and it's really just being conscious of how I feel mentally, how I feel. If there's a certain project in front of me that where I'm just like, dude, I really don't want to edit this. If I start getting like snappy with people, then I know I'm taking on way too much.
Yeah.
And then that's when I'm like, okay, I need to back up. I need to pass off some projects. The last thing I'd recommend is outsourcing work. So I hired an editor to start helping me, because before I'd shoot everything and I'd edit everything myself. And sometimes I'd have 7 video shoots in 1 week, and then I still have to edit all that work. And it's editing takes longer. So I hired an editor, my buddy Thondo. He's been crushing it, and that's allowed me a lot more freedom to say, let me pay you to edit it, and I can focus on either directing more projects or just resting, because the rest is just as important.
Right. Difference between living your dream and achieving your goals.
That's good. Living your dreams and achieving your goals. I think the difference from living your dreams is you should be enjoying the process. So your dream is this end goal, right? We're here at A and the goal is at B. If you don't enjoy everything in between getting to B, you're going to be miserable once you hit B.
Right, Right.
So I'd say that's the living the dream part. You're going to get to it and it feels amazing. And I've like one of my dreams was to work with Casey Neistat. It happened and I'm like, okay, I'm here. Like, should I feel kind of different?
Right.
Like, I was excited, but I'm like, I thought it would have been more.
Right.
You know, I don't know why, but I'm like, this is interesting. But the chase in between is where like all the fun and all the hard work happens.
Yeah.
And then achieving a goal is it's really just checking it off for me and what's the next thing.
Mm.
You know, but I learned in that whole process that you really have to enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And if you're not enjoying the journey once you get to the goal, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Because it's happened to me. Man. I got to the goal and like one of my goals was to hit a financial number. I hit that financial number and I wasn't happy. And that's when I had to switch to be like, I need to enjoy everything I'm doing in the middle that gets me to that financial goal. If not, when I reach it and I'm miserable, exactly. What's the point?
Yeah.
And that was one of my biggest realizations. I never grew up with money, you know, and filmmaking has given me the opportunity to make some pretty good money. I'm not rolling in dough, but I'm not stressing how I'm going to pay rent next month, you know. And it was this big caveat where I made a ton of money one time and I was working so much. I looked at my bank account. I'm like,
man,
that's crazy, but I'm so miserable right now. Like I'm tired. I'm not happy. I'm aggravated.
Yeah.
And then I really had to sit back and be like, why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And that feeling started changing like how I did things, how I approached things,
right.
and the meaning behind like I really have to enjoy what I'm doing. If I don't want to work with that client, if that client's going to bring me down and it's going to be a drag of work, like I'll pass on it.
Yeah.
I'd rather focus my time on doing things that I want so that the end goal is happiness.
Yeah.
Like the end goal for me no more is a financial number. It's not work with this person, that person, that person. It's happiness. It's spending time with my family, spending time with friends, showing friends that I love them and care about them. Like that for me is the achievement. That's the achieving, like the real goal.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good, man.
It's the freedom to do whatever I want. I achieved my ultimate goal. It's to do what I want when I want.
Yeah.
At any hour. If I don't want to wake up and go to work tomorrow, I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I could sleep in all I want. And for me, that's like living the dream.
Yeah.
Because I can call my own schedule. I can do what I want. I get to work with the people I want. And it's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sacrifice to get there. But if there's anybody that wants to do that, work for themselves, whether it's a full-time musician, whether it's a filmmaker, whether it's a painter, a stylist, a photographer, it's absolutely doable. I'm living proof of it. I don't come from like a rich background or wealthy background. Nothing was given to me like on a silver platter. Like I worked for it all.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of like my hard work. And you too. Like you've reached certain like places in your life where you're like, dude, this is cool what I'm doing. I get to be a full-time musician.
Right.
You've worked with amazing artists. You've toured. You've been on amazing stages. You get to do the same thing in a different medium. And when you really look at it, it's like, I don't have to go clock into a 9-to-5.
Right.
I can play music and create music with awesome people. Like that is living the dream and you've already achieved the goal.
Yeah.
And the sauce on top to make it all worth it is, are you happy? And if you're happy, that's it.
Yeah, that's good, man.
That's
it. There's just a button here on the Rodecaster Pro. You won't be able to hear it, but right here is the clap button. So you round of applause, and you just stopped it.
Did I stop it?
Yeah, you stopped. There you go. Richie, in your own words, what does value mean to you?
Value. What does value mean to me? I don't know. I see value a little bit different. I don't know than most people, but when I think of value, I want to provide value. I never care of value coming to me. I always say, how can I provide you value? Mm. What can I do to help you to provide you value? And in return, value will come to me as like a karma or just good energy.
Yeah.
But value is I think showing you the kind of person that I am. I want to be a good person. I want to be someone that gives more than takes, you know, and I feel like I give value in giving. I want to give you my talents. I want to give you my time. I want to give you my resources. I want to give you everything I've worked hard for. So not only I reap the benefits of that, but you do too.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at everything and anybody that I work with. It's how can I be valuable to you? I feel like a lot of this world is give me, give me, give me, and take. And I want to flip it and be like, how can I be valuable to you?
Yeah.
How can I be valuable to you as a resource, as a friend, as a connector of where you're trying to get to? Like before the cameras were rolling, I was like, who are you trying to get? Like on your podcast, let me know how I can help you.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how I like to provide
yeah.
value. So I never see value as what can I get? I see value as what can I give to you?
Yeah.
Or what can I give to the community? What can I give to everybody else?
Yeah.
You know, because I think that that is going to create good karma and all that is going to come back to me in some way down the road. And at the same time, it makes me feel good to give back or to give resources in any way possible. Yeah,
that's great, man.
So I don't know if I directly answered the question.
No, you did. That's in your own way. That's why I said it in your own
words. That's my mentality.
Yeah, that's good, man. Well, Richie, where can people find you on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So my main form of social media right now is Instagram. You can find me at Richie Films, R-I-C-H-Y. Films. If you want to follow my drum stuff, it's Richie Drums, R-I-C-H-Y Drums.
Yeah.
And those are pretty much my main sources. Pretty soon though, I do want to start YouTube. So
you should, man.
I want to.
Yeah.
I want to.
You'll provide definitely a lot of value to the people that are gonna watch, man.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I hope so.
Yeah. Episode 28 with Richie Ramirez. Super thankful that he was able to come through. And hopefully we get to do it again, man.
Of course, bro.
All right. Thank you, bro.
Love you,
dog. Appreciate it. All right. See you guys.